Baptist Christian Academy. Now, how would you like... One thing I never understood about the evolutionists, they're always the same people that freak out about species dying and going extinct. Why do they freak out about that? If evolution is true, you're going to lose some along the way. Anyways. 2008 Darwin Awards. These are pretty much for the dumbest people in the world. Number one, I'm just going to read you a couple of these. When his .38 caliber revolver failed to fire at his intended victim during a holdup in Long Beach, California, would-be robber James Elliott did something that can only inspire wonder. He peered down the barrel and tried the trigger again. This time, it worked. He must have made his mom and dad real proud. An American teenager was in the hospital recovering from serious head wounds received from an oncoming train. When asked how he received the injuries, the lad told police that he was simply trying to see how close he could get his head to a moving train before he was hit. And this, to me, is the greatest one ever. When a man attempted to siphon gasoline from a motorhome parked on a Seattle street, he got much more than he bargained for. Police arrived at the scene to find a very sick man curled up next to a motorhome near spilled sewage. A police spokesman said that the man admitted to trying to steal gasoline and plugged his siphon hose into the motorhome sewage tank by mistake. The owner of the vehicle declined to press charges, saying that it was the best laugh he'd ever had. From what I remember, don't you have to pay to get your sewage dumped out of those things? Maybe he should have been paying the guy. Isn't it good to be in church? Amen. Even on cold, snowy nights, it's still good to be in church. Grab your Bibles, if you would. Turn to the book of Daniel, please. And if you'll stand as we're going to read one verse, Daniel chapter 1 and verse 4. In Daniel chapter 1 and verse 4, the Bible says, "Children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge, in understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans." We're going to learn a little bit about Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah tonight. Nothing new here, but that's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Sadly, we remember their Babylonian names, but we don't remember their real names, the one that God gave them. And the real names are Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. That's who we should remember them by, but Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego seems to be easier to say. But let's have a word of prayer tonight. The title of the message, "In the Fire, I Saw the Lord." Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you tonight for pricking my preacher's heart to have me preach. Lord, I'm always amazed when you have me preach from this pulpit. I'm always amazed that you give me opportunities. I just really don't understand it. But Lord, I sure am thankful that you do. Lord, as always my prayer before I preach, let me decrease to nothing and let you increase to everything in this message tonight. Lord, let the people hear that I believe times are tough enough. But Lord, it's in those tough times that we see you revealed. Lord, help us tonight. Help us to look to you in a special way. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Nebuchadnezzar besieged Jerusalem. The Lord gave Jehoiakim into Nebuchadnezzar's hand. The king gave order to have the best and brightest brought before him to help train his people. These men were successful, bright, up-and-comers. Their world changed swiftly by the siege of their city. the Lord had given these, actually four boys, but we're going to talk about the three. He gave them great abilities. And understand this, a lot of folks have trouble with this, but this is something that we need to learn as we grow in Christianity. Everything that you have, everything that you're good at, everything that you can do, all the gifts that are given to you by God. Miss Debbie plays the piano beautifully. That's a gift from God. The ability for those two to sing together and for those teenagers to sing together tonight was an ability given to them by God. It's not in of ourselves. For in our flesh dwelleth no good thing. Our flesh does not desire to sing about the Lord. Our flesh does not desire to serve God. Matter of fact, our flesh hates that, and that's where our battle is. These boys were good boys. They were cunning in wisdom. As you see in verse 4, children, these children whom was no blemish, well-favored, skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, the understanding science, such as an ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and tongue of the Chaldeans. They were going to teach language to these people, science to these people, knowledge to these people. These kids had great, great futures ahead of them. Yet their city was taken. Yet the world was pulled out from underneath them. Now listen, it was no accident that these boys were that smart. It was no accident that these boys had this knowledge. It was no accident that these boys were so skilled. It was no accident. I'm sure in the back of their minds they thought, one day we will not stand in the palace of this king, we will stand in the palace of this king. One day we will do great and mighty works before all people because the Lord has given us this knowledge. One day we will be able to use what God gave us. Isn't it amazing how quickly your world can change? Isn't it amazing how quickly your world can be flipped upside down? How many have ever had their world just flipped upside down? And what's amazing is, when it comes, it usually always takes us with it. We can't understand. I've heard in the last year, I've heard more people tell me, why would God do this to me? Why would God let this happen? I've prayed about that and thought about that a lot of times, and I have come to the conclusion that Christians have things happening to them, Marlena, so they can show other Christians that you can make it through. Yep. Right. I am firmly committed to the belief that you are put through things specifically, Miss Debbie, because you can handle them. That doesn't sound fair, does it? That sounds horrible to say that kind of thing, that God would look down on you and say, well, he's able, I'll get him. But who else is he going to prove himself great through? Yeah. Amen. Understand this. What happens at the end here is something that God got to show himself. Not that the three boys got to show themselves. And when we go through our Christian life, understand this. A lot of times we walk around saying, God, where are you? God, where are you? Lord, I look to my left, you're not there. I look to my right, you're not there. Lord, I back up and you're not there. Lord, where are you? But sometimes it comes down to the simple fact, Brother Kotiver, that maybe we're not in trouble enough yet. Maybe we're not to the point where we've got to see his hand. Maybe if we saw his hand right where we were at that time, maybe, just maybe, we'd grab the credit for us. Can I give you an example? If we would have said with the preacher's dream this morning that there was $1 million money bag dropped one day after he had the dream, we could have at Bethel Baptist Church said, well, of course, we're such a great church that God had to. I want you to think with me, please. But God has put us through just a little bit of a fire here, just a little bit of a trial, to see, Brother Josh, if we will have the ability to make it through. It would be amazing to me if God would have dropped it down at that moment. It would have been amazing. Question is, would we have been ready? And what has happened is this. We've gone through some things. We've gone through some things together that, well, maybe we didn't bargain for. Maybe they just weren't quite what we had in mind. Because our minds are so much greater than God's. And you laugh because you know you've had your mind working, saying, well, if it was me, I would have done it this way. But God is amazing in the simple fact that he does not need our help. But he still needs our help. Amen? I'm so thankful he gives us the ability to help him every once in a while. And what happens is we get ahead of God. We get ahead of the time. We get ahead of the place. We get ahead of the doings. And we get ourselves to the point where if we would have had $1 million in the bank and built the building, would God have gotten the glory? I just want you to think. I wonder if God would like to be glorified when we see him. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were among these children that this king was looking for. This king only wanted the best of the best. He didn't want the losers. He wanted the best of the best. These four men or four boys were part of the best of the best. He picked the cream of the crop. In verse 17, I want you to see in verse 17 here in this chapter, as for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. And you've seen, you know about all about Daniel. You know about the fact that he was able to dream dreams and show him things that nobody else could see. You knew that. And looking back, if you see something that these kids had that was above the knowledge and above the abilities and above the things that they had, I want you to see something. If you look, they would not take of the king's meat. They would not take of the defiling of the world. They would not let the world, Brother Rod, add to what the Lord had given them. They would not let the world put their hands on the boys and say, boys, you should live this way. Because you're here, you should live this way. Because you're here, you should be part of this culture. Because you're here, you should be part of this. They said, no, I am going to follow God. No matter what comes, I'm going to follow God. Amen. What happens is this, and it's especially prevalent in our teenagers. It's easy to be Christian here. But when you get outside, is it still easy to be a Christian? When you get outside, do you take of the world's meat, or do you keep what the Lord has given you and say, I'm going to live this way? What's amazing is we say no, but how many of us in this room right now are in debt up to our eyeballs? See, that's the world's meat there, and I'm with you. Hey, I'll raise my hand. But the world said, if I give you this plastic, you can buy whatever it is that you want to buy. Think with me now. But the boy said, I'm not going to take of the king's meat because that's something that I don't want to partake in. I want to defile myself with the world. I want to live above the world. I want to live what God has shown me. So these boys, these kids, these children are strong enough to stand. There's nothing more exciting, in my opinion, that a group of teenagers are in a church willing to stand. Amen. Willing to get in. And I've said this at least 100 times. In your heart, do you have your own faith? In your heart, do you have your own ability? Because understand this, children, your parents are not going to be with you forever. Your preacher may not be with you forever. Your Bible will be with you forever. And so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You need to get inside that Bible and find out what your faith is. That way, when the arrows start coming at you and the darts start coming to you and the wiles of the wicked one come towards you, you can say, no, I'm going to stand on what I believe. And let me tell you, that's one of the hardest things for a kid to do. Because in this day and age, the world is not looking for the best and the brightest. But God is. Understanding that we're not the best and the brightest, Gemwell, in and of ourselves. We are the best and the brightest because God has given us that. So you might go into this and say, well, Brother Dave, I'm not very smart. Brother Dave, I'm not very good at talking. Brother Dave, I can't sing. There's not many things I could do. Understand this. There is something that you can do. You just have to find out what that thing is. There is something that the Lord has blessed you with. You just have to find out what that is. These boys had what they were, and they were going to stand on what they knew, stand on what God gave them, and they were not ever going to say, I'm going to back down. And looking in verse 20, actually I'll read back to Verse 17, as for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar, and the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. And in all matters, these were the best of the best of the best of the best. Right? He brought all these people in, and now these four stood above all of them. Amen? Children. Amen? And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. When you've got God with you, you are at least 10 times better than anything this world has to offer you. At least 10 times better. Be willing to be 10 times better. We give ourselves demotions all the time. We give ourselves demotions all the time. Well, I'm going to hold on to the King James Bible. I'll hold on to it, but I'm not going to believe it's inspired. You just had a demotion. Why would you want to take that away from yourself? Well, I've got a good Bible, but it's not exactly right. I'm going to correct it along the way. Why would you do that to yourself? I'm a Christian, but I'm going to dress like the world. Why would you do that to yourself? I've got news for you. We are taking demotions away from what God wants us to be every day. We as Christians have got a fabulous inheritance waiting for us. Why in the world don't we act like it sometimes? Why in the world do we are so worried about Barack Obama, who could not fix you if he wanted to? He's got no chance. Let me tell you something. The government has no chance to fix this nation. I hope you understand that. I don't care if the greatest person in the whole wide world got into the White House. They're not going to fix this nation. God's going to fix this nation if it's going to be fixed. But what happens is the very people that can get this place fixed have taken demotions in so much as we don't even look like Christians anymore. But not these boys. These boys were 10 times better. These boys were something to be very special. These boys had wisdom from God. These boys had knowledge from God. These boys received their stature from God. These boys received their standards from God. And because of those things, they had great success. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 17, I want you to look at this. Understanding that this king had a dream, and in that dream he forgot the dream, and he came to his sorcerers and he came to his magicians and said, I want you to tell me what I dreamed. Well, you tell us about the dream, we'll tell you what it is. He said, I'll remember the dream. Well, how in the world are we supposed to tell you what it is if you don't remember it? He said, I don't know, but if you don't tell me real soon, I'm going to kill you. That's a lot of pressure. So he figured out that they were going to make something up. Most of people would make something up, right? Well, you dreamed about Hawaii. I always dream about Hawaii if it would fit. Oh, I've been there. Be quiet. I should live there. Far away from David. No. So he brings these people in. And they are better. So Daniel says, I can do this. Levi says, I am good with interpretation. I can do this. What does Daniel do, though? Does Daniel take it upon himself to figure out the dream? Brother Mike, let's look at what he does in verse 17. Then Daniel went to his house. And in the house, he made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men in Babylon. He went home, Brother Josh, and had him a prayer meeting. Amen. He went home and said, hey, fellas, I'm in a bind here. We're all going to die unless we pray and have God show us mercy, have God show us great strength here, have God give us great knowledge on what that king dreamed, or we are all dead meat. So they prayed. And I promise you, being killed back then was for real. It wasn't like today where it gets threatened around and passed around. When a king made a decree, it happened. It was set in stone. He said, you die, you die. And these boys sought God's face in their time of trouble. And they were in trouble. And God gave him the interpretation of the dream. And because he gave them that, he gave them great success. And look at Daniel chapter 2, verse 46 through 49. Then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshiped Daniel. Are you kidding me? This boy, this child, he worshiped this boy. He's the king. And he fell down and worshiped him and commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him. The king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth it is, listen to this now, that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldest reveal this secret. Then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and the chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. Then David requested of the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that's Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But David sat in the gate of the king. So he called these three men together at his prayer meeting. We got the prayer answered. Now he calls them again to make them great men. Now they're rulers over these provinces of Babylon. All because they stood for God. Amen? Can I ask you a question? Was everything going well for them? Now listen, their whole world was turned upside down. God had done something amazing. And what is amazing to me, after I just read to you that Nebuchadnezzar bowed down to Daniel and said, your God is a God of gods. Your God is a Lord of kings. In the very next chapter, he builds a golden idol. And in the very next chapter, he says, you'll bow down to that. Now you know, it doesn't say anything about Daniel, but you know, you got to believe he was right there with him. The three boys would not bow. They had stood before, and they would not bow. Now, I want to read something to you. If you will turn to Psalm chapter 77. Psalm chapter 77. These boys were tattled on, basically. They refused to bow down to Nebuchadnezzar when they heard the music playing. They refused to do the thing that the king had ordered them to do, thus giving them an impending death sentence. They refused to bow down to that golden idol, even for 1 minute, because they knew that they were not allowed to bow down to anybody but God. They knew that they had to serve God. The question you have, do you know you've got to serve God? I'm glad nobody said amen. Do you know in your heart that God has a job for you? Do you know in your heart that you're supposed to be serving Him? And when other things come along that would take away your time of service, do you know that you're supposed to stand against those things? Now, these boys were doing everything right. These boys were doing exactly what God asked them to do and commanded them to do, and they knew that. They had this in their heart. They had their own faith. They didn't have anybody telling them what to do. They just did it because they believed in God. Are they doing everything right? Yet the carpet gets pulled out from under them again. Look at Psalm 77. I want you to put yourself in their place for 1 minute. They're doing everything right. You're seeking God's will. You're doing God's will. You're doing everything you're supposed to be doing. And your world gets turned down again. Listen to this. I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My sore ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. Listen to me now. This is how you get over things. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Don't sing to me in the daytime if you can't sing to me in the night. Brother Lester Roloff used to say that all the time. And I'm going to tell you right now, these verses are telling me that your complaint will overwhelm your spirit. Your thought of not having things go right in your life, your thought of saying, I just don't know what I can do. The Lord tells you what to do in Psalms. He says, if the times are tough, if you can't seem to make it through, remember what God just did yesterday. Remember what God just did to you a few years ago. Remember what God just did for you in the times. I'll never forget. Tammy and I were getting married. And we had a fantastic wedding. And my tuxedo pants were so tight, I'll never forget that. Good Lord have mercy. Looked like I had on white spandex. We had no money. Lots changed, hasn't it, honey? and we don't know what to do. These bills are coming due, and our wedding is just in a few days. And we prayed and prayed and prayed about it. Lord, please work it out. And out of nowhere, $5,000 comes in. And two said, now listen, you may say, well, that's who cares? That's no big, it's just a wedding. Well, if any of you are girls in here, you don't feel that way. If any of you are guys, you probably do feel that way, but you do see the success. God did something amazing. God did something wonderful. And I have hung my hat on that victory more than once. I watched my mother come out of the sin that she was in. I watched my mother come from a place that I can't even fathom to a place that I can't even fathom. I've hung my hat on that victory more than one time, because I know that God can do it there. He certainly can do it again here. We have become a "what have you done for me lately" people. And because your complaint constantly comes to God's ears, eventually your complaint overwhelms your spirit. Eventually your complaint overwhelms the thought of God. Eventually your complaint becomes bigger than your spirit. Eventually you listen to your complaint more than you listen to your success through God. And because of that, we walk on with no victory. Because of that, we walk our days and days and days with downturned frowns. We walk around every single day wondering, where in the world, how are we ever going to get out of this? If anybody had the right to do that, it was those three boys right there. Because they were doing everything right, Levi. They were doing everything that they were supposed to do. God had them in the center of His will. And when He had them in the center of His will, they were praying. They were praying, Brother Rod. They were praying, but they weren't praying to the idol. They were praying to God. They were praying, and they were being tattled on for praying. And the king says, were you boys doing that? Is that what you were doing? You were praying to God instead of praying to my golden statue? Is that right? And they said, King, I want you just to see something. I like this. I'll just read the verse to you I was talking about. Now, if you be ready, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said unto the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. Who is that God? None of your business. We're not careful to answer thee in this matter. Why are they not careful to answer him in this matter? Verse 17 says, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But look at the next verse. But if not, this is what you got to see, Christian. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Listen to me now, Christian. Understand this. You may not see great deliverance, but serve God anyhow. I get so sick and tired of people copping out on God. I get so sick and tired of people saying, well, God didn't do anything for me here, so I'm just going to quit. I get so sick and tired of people saying, well, God, you owe me victory. God doesn't owe you anything. We owe him everything. There's nothing we don't owe him. Oh, he didn't give me great victory right away. I'll never forget going out soul winning the first few times in Team Jerusalem. Didn't win anybody for 2 months, so I quit. I looked God straight in the eye later on and said, I'm sorry. I didn't have it in me. I didn't have it in my heart to talk to people about Christ. See, what happens is this. We are a microwave people that if we don't see something right now, if we don't see victory today, we're not happy. The three boys are saying, hey, I don't care what happens to me. Maybe God won't deliver us from this. Maybe we'll die today. But know this, if we die, and we may die, if we die, I'm still not going to bow down to your gods. I'm still not going to bow down to what you'd have me to bow down to, because no man will come in between me and my God. It's hard to grasp that kind of thing today, because there's so much gray area in Christianity, it seems like, anymore. Amen? There's so much, should we do this or should we do that? Should we do this or should we do that? Do you know why there's gray areas, Brother Andrew? There's gray areas in Christianity because they cease to look at the black and white. It's not really hard if you'll take your Bible and look at your Bible and get your faith from your scriptures. It's not real hard because the Bible is pretty cut and dry on most things. But what happens is we try to find the biblical loopholes to serving God. The biblical loopholes of, well, I know that God did, but he also did this over here, and because he did this over here, that's going to negate my 78 things that I'm supposed to do over here. The biblical loophole. Want me to give you a biblical loophole? Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. But later on in the scripture it says, well, you can have a little wine for your stomach's sake. That's a biblical loophole. That gives the drunkards a reason to think that they can drink. When they know in their heart that that drinking is not what they're doing. That taking a little wine for our stomach is not what they're doing. Amen? So what happens is, Christians, we look for a way that we can figure out to get around serving God. We look for a way that we can do to get out of coming to church all the time, to get out of doing certain things. We look for a way. I wonder if God just wants you to serve him and say, I'm not going to bow down over here. I'm not going to do it. I refuse. I'm going to serve God only and not this over here. No matter what your golden idol is. Because everybody seems to have different golden idols. Everybody seems to have something that they're not willing to walk away from to serve God. Because they're worried of the consequences of walking away from this. Are teenagers willing to walk away from the internet to serve God? Are adults willing to walk away from pornography to serve God? Are adults willing to walk away from alcohol? And kids too, are you willing to walk away from alcohol? Are you willing to walk away from the things that the world has to offer and say, I'm not going to bow down over here? And these three boys said, I'm not willing to bow down for 1 second over here. I've got to serve God. So they're doing everything absolutely right. In verse 17, 18 of chapter 3, they trusted in a God that provided for them even without them seeing him. At this time, they had not seen the Lord. Amen. They knew he was there. They had great faith in him. For faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Don't be surprised when you don't see God. Don't be surprised when he's not right in front of you. Then you can. I love that people talk about feeling his presence. There's so many days that I don't feel his presence, but I know he's there. Don't stop serving God because you don't feel him. Don't stop serving God because for a minute your emotions aren't put on charge. Don't stop serving God. Serve God because you love God. Serve God because he owes you nothing. Serve God because he died for you. Don't serve God because he gives you a feeling every time you need a feeling. Serve God because he loves you today. And he loved those boys. And those boys knew it. And they served God knowing that. If you look at verse 19, Nebuchadnezzar felt full of fury. The form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should be heat the furnace one seven times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. And these men were bound in their coats, in their hosen, apparently they're German, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. You know the story. They were cast in there bound. They were cast in there. Listen to me now. This is good stuff. They were cast in there unable to do anything of their own strength. They were put into the fire not of their fault. They were put into the fire not because they did something wrong. They were put into the fire not because there was something that they were getting in trouble for. They were put into the fire bound so they could not help themselves get out. They were put into the fire for no reason and unable with their own human power to get out. I dare say if I pulled the room right now, some of us are in a position where we're bound, not our fault, and we're in a position where we can't get out. We're in a position that is impossible for anything that we can humanly do to get out. And even the strongest the world has to offer is consumed in what we're trying to get out of. Even the strongest men that threw those boys into the fire died. And they were thrown in unable to protect themselves, unable to change their circumstances, unable to do anything about what was happening to them. And if you look at verse 19 or verse 20, and he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hose, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, they're no longer boys. Amen. These three men. Boys, you want to be men? Serve God. You want to be a man? Serve God. These three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound, and in the midst of the burning fiery furnace, they are in trouble. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men. Not only do I see four men, I see them loose. And I see them walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. There has been times in our lives that may be like this. Times that we just can't figure out or see. How in the world are we going to get out? These boys may have been afraid. It doesn't say that, but they may have been afraid. I mean, you're looking at a burning fiery furnace seven times higher than it used to be, and king's awful mad at you, taking these big hunky men to throw you in, all bound up in your hosen. I'm quite sure that you're not going to be happy. But I don't see him fighting. I don't see where they battled. All I see is trusting God. All I see is in the face of the worst adversity that they'd probably had up until this point, I see them trusting God. I see these three boys thrown into a place that is impossible to get out of. I see these three boys thrown into a place that's not their fault. Thrown into a place because it is not, and they weren't being blamed for anything, doing anything wrong. They were being blamed for doing something right. Yet even when they were blamed for doing something right, they got chastised by the world. Thrown in the fire. And up until this time, Brother Andrew, I guarantee you that they had not laid eyes on God. Oh, they trusted him. And by the way, you should too, without laying eyes on him. But it's amazing they got thrown into the fire, bound. But there's somebody inside the furnace waiting on them. There's somebody in the furnace that says, you know what, you come in here, you serve me, and I know it looks bad. You serve me, and I know it looks tough. You serve me, and I know for sure that it looks like you can't get out. But just the time when all those things happen to you, brother, it's amazing who's inside waiting on you to get there. Because they did everything that they were supposed to do, because they had great faith in their God, he was inside waiting on them to come through. It's amazing they got into the fire. That's when they saw God. You might say, well, Brother Dave, I've been through lots of fires. I've never seen him. He's never appeared to me. You know, I wonder if you weren't looking. I wonder if there's times that we get cast into the fire and all we see are the flames. I wonder if we get cast into the fire and all we think of is the heat. Those boys went in, didn't even think about the heat, and they certainly didn't see the flames. They came out unsinged. The only thing that was burned up and gone were what they were bound with. The Lord took off all the bindings. He took off everything that was holding them back. And he said, just keep serving me. This is a great victory. I wonder, Miss Ruth, did the three boys remember their victory later on in their life? I wonder. I would bet that that was voiced all throughout the kingdom. I would bet that the men that saw that said, hey, Hulk and Goliath died at the door. These big men died at the door. Yet, when they got cast in, not only did they not die, I couldn't even smell the heat on them. And they walked through the hardest time of their life, and the Lord grabbed a hold of them and said, fear not, I will take care of you. If you look back in Psalm again, 77, I have considered the days of old, the year of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night and commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made delight, made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and the talk of thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and of Joseph. The waters saw thee, O God. The waters saw thee. They were afraid. The depths also were troubled. The clouds poured out water. The skies sent out a sound. Thine arrows also went abroad. The voice of thy thunder was in the heaven. The lightnings lightened the world. The earth trembled and shook. Thy way is in the sea, and thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. Thou ledest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. What you've got to understand is this. In Isaiah, the Bible says, glorify thy God in the fires. We as Christians need to grab a hold of something. In this story, it talks about, it's not a story, it's a truth. What happens here is the best and the brightest were taken down to see what they would do. And in the fire is where they saw God. In the fire is where they saw God work. I don't know why bad things happen to good people, but I do know this. Christian, people are watching to see if there's going to be any more than just you walking through the fire. People are watching to see what you're going to look at when you're going through those fires. People are watching to see if you see God even when you're in the fire. Do you see him today? I'm not talking with your eyes, but do you see him when you're going through the worst times? And hey, listen, the worst times may be coming, but understand this, even in the worst times, God is waiting there for you to take off the binds, make you free to serve him again. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for the opportunity to preach. Lord, please, I'm asking you to let me see you when I walk through the fires. Lord, let me see your great works. And even if you don't let me see you, God, let me walk through the fire anyways. Let me walk through the fire with my head held high. Let me walk through the fire, serving you all the way and never turning back. Let me always seek to serve you, because God, you don't owe me anything. But Lord, I would that I could glorify you in my troubles so that others can see. I would to God that you would let others glorify you in their troubles so that they would let others see that being a Christian might be full of fire, but we serve a God who has conquered all, and we serve a God that can beat any idol that we could ever worship. We serve you, and you are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. And I thank you so much for helping us every day get through the fires that we face. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
We just found out tonight that sometimes, I believe it's in most cases, the worst times that we go through things are usually the best times for us. And most of the time, when we're having good things, it's the worst thing for us. Seems like God uses trials, sorrow, and heartache to draw us closer to Him. You know, these boys, those Hebrew boys, were close. And isn't it great to see God manifest Himself? Right when you think there's no hope, and they say, man, that's it, there's not a chance. And then they have to be still, and they see the hand of God. Amen? Let's bow our heads in prayer. I wonder, with our heads bowed in prayer tonight, maybe you're in a fire. Maybe you're really troubled. Maybe you think there's no way out. Maybe you think there's no hope. And you just say, preacher, my pastor Dave preached. God just spoke to my heart. I'm so discouraged. I got some hope tonight. I believe God can get me out of this, take me through it. Pray that God will help me. Who'd say that? Yes, 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 all over the building, yes. God bless you. I was telling the deacons tonight, we might see some things in 2009 that this country's never seen. But yet we're going to see things that God. I was after church. I was telling Brother Mike Freimeyer, wasn't at the meeting tonight. But I said, we might see some things that we cannot believe, but yet God's going to do something in the midst of it. God's going to do phenomenal things. Let's be willing, like those three Hebrew boys, let's be willing to go into the fire for God. And I'm like them. Hey, if He saves me, fine. If He don't, but I'm going to keep serving Him. I'm not going to bow down to the worldly system. Heavenly Father, thank you for the challenge of the Word of God tonight. We're going to meet those three Hebrew boys in heaven. And we're going to be telling them, we're going to talk to them. Say, hey, tell me that story when you got thrown in that furnace of fire. It's going to be exciting hearing what they say to us. Lord, I pray that we would be like them. We would have enough faith and conviction in you that no matter what would come in this life towards us, we'd say, no, we're going to stand with God. Let God be true. Help us this year in 2009 to walk through the fires and to trust that you'll be with us. We pray these things. And Lord, you saw those hands. There was hands on both sides went up. Be with all those people. Please help them, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. If you'd like to come and pray, you come right now.